Test. Echo, 1, 2. Testing. I think this is recording. Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of Roaming Reigns. We are broadcasting live from a public library today. So, I have to try to be quiet because we are in a library, so I'm just trying to be respectful. Trying to find Jack, and here it is. Not that I need it, but I need to make sure that I'm quiet. Why am I here? What happened? What's been going on? Okay. Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of Roaming Reigns. It's episode 16. This is going to be a very special and somber episode. So I thought I would come to the library for this. Well, I had planned to come to the library just to pick up some books that I reserved. But it just seemed fitting that I'm here. I'm actually in a study room that is available for people that are taking like a citizenship class, or I think it's for the passport office. I don't know. It's called a study room. So it's either for citizenship or any type of study session. I don't know. But it's a pretty quiet room. There's a dry erase board behind me. There's another one. I'm behind a desk. I have my stuff set up. I'm right by the magazines and the paperback books and stuff. So yeah, I'm in a city facilities recording this episode. Why is it a special episode? I want to talk about what happened on Saturday, August 3rd, 2019. I haven't been able to talk about it because, you know, it happened. It was a whirlwind that week. Actually, I just started working. I started working in a library. Not this one, but I am working for the city. And it just so happened that Saturday, my first Saturday as a city employee, that tragic thing happened where lives were lost, the mass shooting here in El Paso. So now, of course, everybody's probably seen the news. They know what happened. They know who did it. I'm not going to say that piece of shit's name, and he is a piece of shit. He's barely acknowledge him as a human being for the fucking scumbaggery and bullshit that he's done. So I probably shouldn't consult Wikipedia for this, but if you guys watch the news, you know that two things happened that Saturday. One was at around 9 or 10 in the morning, a motherless piece of shit drove from, where did he come from? Okay, I'm going to consult the internet for this. I'm not going to say his name or anything. I'm never saying his name. No one in the city. He's still alive. He's still at the downtown jail, but we're not saying that name. And if I do sound inflamed, it's because this is something that I haven't been able to hash out at all. So I want to talk about it as much as I can before the close of the library. But this happened August 3rd, 2019. It was early in the morning, so according to the reports and to the news and everything, it happened at around 10:30 in the morning. He was probably there earlier, they're saying, so I'm not going to go on hearsay or conjecture. I'm just going to go by what everybody knows. So we want to use the word Hispanophobia, anti-immigration as the motives. I don't know. That's a big hot-button thing for me. I'm just going to talk about what happened, how I experienced that day, and of course remembering the lives of the people the lives that were lost, the people that this fucking inhuman monster took. It's hard to talk about, I'm not gonna lie. So this guy from Allen, Texas, the Dallas metropolitan area, drove all the way here to El Paso with the intent of killing Mexicans or immigrants. however you want to spin it, that's what he wanted to do. That's what he did. Ruined a lot of people's families, scarred people. He didn't scar this town, though. I want to say everybody's moving on. It's affected us, of course, but everybody's moving on as best they can. So I'll just give this pathetic excuse for a human. He's 21. 21 years old. Pissed his life away for what? For whatever bullshit he was reading, whatever rhetoric he was being fed. I'm not going to get political on this, but everybody watches the news. Everybody has their own spin. I'm just going to say if this guy, however he arrived at this conclusion, he's got mental problems. If he's going to blame a group of people that I belong to. My parents are from Mexico. I'm a first generation Mexican. The people that he killed were probably either from Mexico. He did kill Mexican nationals. He killed children, women, men, old people. He killed all kinds of people. And that this is spun is that this scumbag published a white nationalist anti-immigrant manifesto on 8chan before the attack, citing inspiration from the Christchurch mosque shootings in New Zealand and mentioning white genocide conspiracy. It's all bullshit. Whatever excuse he gave to do what he did, I don't buy it. This is going to be biased, of course. I'm just going to go more into details about that later. I just want to get my head straight about what happened. So this incident occurred inside a Walmart Supercenter near the Cielo Vista Mall. I go to that mall all the time. I've gone to that mall since I was a kid. It's not too close to where I live now, but it's close enough. And actually, I drove by it. I actually worked that morning. I worked that Saturday, ironically. Or not ironically, I just, coincidence, I guess. I don't want to downplay what happened. So this happened on the east side of El Paso. The shooter walked into the store carrying what was believed to be a WASR-10 rifle, semi-automatic civilian version of the AK-47, and opened fire on people just before 10:40 a.m. Eyewitnesses claimed that the shooter was firing on customers in the parking lot before entering the Walmart. The store manager issued a code brown, designating an active shooter to his employees after witnessing the gunman firing in the parking lot. Witnesses told reporters that they thought the gunfire was construction, roof construction, or fireworks, so people heard the gunshots, but they didn't know there were gunshots, or they couldn't believe what had happened. So other customers and employees had to tell them, no, it's gunshots. Customers and employees fled to other stores in the mall, hid under tables, hid in shipping containers behind the building. There's videos of people hiding in the McDonald's immediately where this guy walked into. If you've seen the footage, the camera footage where he walked in through, right to the left of those doors is a McDonald's. I don't know if he went in there and shot people, but there were people hiding under the tables. I can't imagine that. And by the way, I've been in that Walmart, not lately, not for years. It's just in this city, it just had a reputation of being a very, very busy store. Not the cleanest of stores, even though they remodeled it and everything, but it was just a very high traffic store, just being so close to the mall, other restaurants, right next to a Sam. So it was always very, very busy. The parking lot was always packed. It was always dirty, the parking lot, I mean. It's just hard to get in and out of. It wasn't the most convenient store to go to. Plus, there's a Walmart on the way home for me, like literally. I drive past it every day to and from work, and it's closer. So for me to be there, I would just have to really need to go there. My younger sister, Erica, she used to work at that Walmart for many years, right when she moved back from San Antonio. So she used to work in electronics there, and she would work there probably until she got a job at Best Buy. But she used to work there, and I think about that. And her ex, my youngest niece's dad, worked there, I think, up until recently. So it was just coincidence. She was no longer there. He no longer worked there. But I'm sure they both had friends or new people that still worked there from when they worked there. So that's just unbelievable. So, yeah, just me being there that day, didn't intend to go to that Walmart. It just wasn't convenient for me to go. But the night before, so that Friday, I had a discussion with my mom. I was going to have to work Saturday because it was my first full week. And so she had asked me, she had mentioned that we needed cases of water or some other stuff that we needed. And since I'd started working, she's like, maybe you can go to Sam's and get it. And I'm like, I think I had a flat tire at the time, so I had a spare. So I'm driving on a donut, not really wanting to drive around a lot, but I did. Or I think I got a flat after. I don't think I had a flat yet. So I went to work. But the night before, my mom gave me some money, and she's like, well, go get cases of water from Sam's since they're the cheapest. And where I used to live before, there was a Sam's very close. Not the Sam's that was adjacent to the Walmart where these atrocities happened, but there was a Sam's Club closer to where I used to live before I moved back. And so it just wasn't convenient for me to go all the way up there. So I thought, hey, maybe I can go to this Sam's, which is on the way home, if I take the freeway home, which I usually don't. I take side streets or city streets. I don't like taking the freeway home. It's just a hassle. But so it did cross my mind that Friday night or even Saturday morning when I woke up, got ready for work. I'm like, well, what do I have to do after work? I can go to Sam's. So I was planning on going to Sam's later that day, at least any Sam's. It could have been that Sam's. I could have just said, fuck it, and go to the Walmart. So if I hadn't worked, I probably would have just slept. I don't have a tendency to get up and go to the store that early anyway. Although the week after, I would ultimately end up going to Walmart early. And I have been to Walmart since, not that Walmart, unfortunately. That Walmart's closed, it's fenced off, it's got security. Walmart is thinking of reopening it, which I think it's in poor taste. People died there. There's no fucking way. No fucking way anyone from this town is going to shop in that store ever again with people died. When people died in there, nobody. They should level that fucking Walmart. Put it somewhere else. Not there. Just my opinion. But I'm never going to go shop in there. And today, actually, I went. Today's my day off, which is why I'm recording this. But I went to the Sierra Vista Mall, which is the mall next to the Walmart where they showed in the news and said, oh, there's a shooter in the mall or something's going on. So there was panic in the city that day. Thankfully, it wasn't multiple shooters. It wasn't multiple locations. It wasn't the cartel. It wasn't a mob. It wasn't anyone. It was just one guy. But one guy killed a lot of people. One guy killed over 20 people. So New York Times story about this, but I can't. It's hard to talk about. Sorry, my girlfriend is writing me. All right, I'll just tell her. Okay, so I'll probably have to edit this out. I'm just telling her. Okay, so the mass shootings, Okay, sorry for the distraction. So, the store shut. The mall's still open. I went there to return some stuff, and I didn't hesitate to go there. They have security now. Before the shooting happened, Walmart occasionally hired security for Black Friday or Christmas, the Christmas season, but generally, that Walmart or any of the other Walmarts didn't really have security, except for maybe late at night. They'll maybe be a cop if there was like money being exchanged or anything like that. But prior to that, no, they didn't have anything. So, there was no security at that Walmart. It was a Saturday, fucking Saturday morning, a summer Saturday morning, or typical Saturday morning. So there was no need for security. People were shopping, people were going to have breakfast, it was back to school, tax holiday actually, so people were there to shop, even from Mexico. I haven't read all the stories about all the people that died, but I know it was Mexican nationals, kids, women, men, of all races, but mostly Mexicans were targeted. Well, when I say all races, it was mostly Mexican people that were hit, or Hispanic. That were killed, educators from Mexico, high school students from here, from Horizon, from local areas in El Paso, just kids, babies, parents killed senselessly by this fucking inhuman monster. Whatever possessed him to do that, I can't fathom. I don't want to. I don't give him a second thought. He's downtown in a jail. On suicide watch, so I'm sure he's living comfortably on our money. And I don't typically get this hot buttony or controversial, but I need to because I live here. And yes, this city is on the mend. It's healing. It's not going to be overnight, but we're trying to do our best. This 21-year-old kid enacted the deadliest mass shooting in the United States. It is the deadliest mass shooting in the United States of this year, even though there was another mass shooting in Dayton, Ohio that night. 9 people were killed, and police killed the gunman. It's the 7th deadliest mass shooting in the United States since 1949, and the 3rd deadliest in Texas, so I don't understand. It's hard to say, it's hard to talk about. So, calls were placed, and first responders began to arrive within 6 minutes of the initial call, which was, they're saying it's after 10:30 or 10:40. So, SWAT, ATF, everyone, Department of Public Safety, so the state troopers, Border Patrol, and off-duty cops. So after all this happened and the cops and everyone were there, they couldn't find him. He drove up. So the way the layout is that you have I-10 east and west. So if you're headed on I-10 through the city, when you're almost to the center of the city is where you'll see the Walmart and you'll see the mall and you'll see the signs for the exit to Sam's and Walmart. So to get in there is fairly easy. You just get off the freeway and take the access road. It's heavy traffic, so it's not fun. Maybe even on a Saturday morning, it's hard to get to. But so yeah. So after he shot people and killed them, he casually walked out and drove up the street. There's like a small pedestrian, like traffic bridge that leads in between the Sam's and the Walmart. So the Walmart, if you're looking at it from the freeway, Walmart will be on your right-hand side if you're looking at it neutrally from the freeway. If you're traveling westbound, the Walmart will be on the right-hand side. So, yeah, it doesn't matter what direction you're traveling. The Walmart will be on the right side, on your right-hand side. The Sam's Club will be on the left. Sam's Club is where they took a lot of the people that were shot and were treating them there until ambulances and stuff and fire trucks came, so... It's hard for me to breathe even talking about this. I feel fucking stressed out, bummed out. It sucks. So this prick didn't even go that far. They didn't have to chase him. He just went up the street past the Hooters, past Sun Metro Bus, which is like the big feeder bus station that's there next, behind Sam's rather. There's also like an elementary school nearby, like across the street, like a couple blocks up behind the Walmart and the Sam's. So he drove up there, stopped, surrendered to fucking cops. So he knew what he was doing. The scumbag. According to this, so the shooting resulted in 22 deaths and 24 injuries. One victim died the day after. Another victim died 2 days after. So among the dead were 13 Americans, 8 Mexicans, and 1 German. Names and ages of the 22 dead were released by El Paso Police Department 2 days later. 17 were 56 or older. 2 were in their 40s, 2 were in their 20s, and 1 was 15. So he killed a fucking 15-year-old. So, I mean, it doesn't matter their ages. It just matters that they're human beings and nothing and nobody gives a right to anybody to come do this senseless violence. 13 victims were taken to the University Center, University Medical Center of El Paso UMC, which used to be Thomason, which is like the big trauma hospital, the biggest one they have, which is not that far. There's another hospital, the opposite direction of the Walmart, the mall. UMC, another 11 victims to Del Sol, 2 children, 2 and 9 transferred to El Paso Children's Hospital. Del Sol medical patients were between 35 and 82 years old. This scumbag was arrested, charged with capital murder. 21-year-old white male, last known to have lived in his family's home in Allen, Texas, around 650 miles from El Paso. He drove 650 fucking miles to do this. Did doubt ever cross his mind? I don't want to get inside this piece of shit's head. I really don't right now. It's just aggravating. Graduated in 2017 from Plano Senior High School, enrolled Collin College for the last couple of years. Oh, he had a Twitter account. Trump supporting Republican. Politics, I don't want to talk about that. Police said he bought the gun used in the attack legally, provided no details about the purchase. Two law enforcement officials told ABC News that after the suspect was taken into custody, told investigators that he wanted to shoot as many Mexicans as possible. Right then and there, it's hard not to be biased. It's hard not to look at people as human beings, but when he doesn't see you as a human being and he's attacking people like me, essentially, I'm born in the United States. I'm an American, but I feel like I'm Mexican too. Soy bilingüe, I'm bilingual. I can turn it on and off. Does that make me a lesser person? I don't know. Maybe this is going to be a very heated episode. Maybe it's going to be too biased, whatever. It's going to be hard to listen to. But let's say somebody was hunting. People listening, whatever your race, your origin is, somebody was systematically killing people from your race, if you're not Mexican, if you're whatever race you are. How mind-blowing is that in 2019 that this fear and paranoia and loathing is incepted into our brains because of this. What once was proclaimed to be the safest city in the U.S., which it still is. This guy wasn't from here. This wasn't gang killing. This wasn't Juarez cartel killing. This somebody, it's so horrible, but when I was thinking about this and thinking about recording this episode, I was toying around with the idea of calling this episode title, which I won't. I'll probably call it El Paso's Forever Strong, because we are. I thought about calling it Death Comes to My Little Town. And it fucking, it's embarrassing and it hurts to say, but it's true. Death did come to our town. He wasn't born here. He was from Texas, but he might as well have been from another fucking planet if he drove 650 miles, spent money on guns, bullets, gas, a car, however many stops he made. Nobody asked him where he was going. Nobody tried to reason with him. Nobody listened to him. I'm not going to offer that to him now. Nobody's going to offer sympathy in this town.
May I have your attention, please? The library will be closing in 30 minutes. The computers will shut down in 15 minutes. Please save all your documents on a USB or print at this time. Library card applications will stop at 15 minutes. Thank you. Su atención, por favor. La biblioteca se va a cerrar en 30 minutos. Las computadoras van a cerrar en 15 minutos. Por favor, guarden sus documentos.
That's how you know I'm in a library where they have to announce 30 minutes prior that we're shutting down. Okay, I just want to get through and get this out as much as I can. So yeah, nobody tried to talk to this kid before he did this. Now he gets no sympathy from us. He's getting the death penalty sought from the district attorney here in El Paso. And I usually don't volunteer this information, but I'm glad he deserves it. Just killing one person is bad enough, but this many people, wounding this many people, traumatizing this many people, an entire fucking town, he deserves it. He's getting off easy if he's getting killed. Doesn't matter, lethal injection, whatever the fuck. He deserves worse. And it sounds horrible. I don't like talking about it, but I'm reading about the manifesto. I'm not going to mention any of this bullshit here. It's unimportant. August 4th, an arrest warrant affidavit says the suspect relinquished his Miranda rights and confessed to detectives that he targeted Mexicans during the attack. On the same date, it was determined that a San Antonio criminal defense attorney had been appointed to represent this piece of shit. So they got to bring somebody up from the outside. U.S. Attorney for Western District of Texas announced the office plans to indict what's-his-name fuckface of a hate crime, domestic terrorism, firearm charges, and federal prosecutors would seek the death penalty. Okay, so Saturday, August 3rd, 2019. I'll just have a moment of silence for the families. Everybody affected, all the people that died. I don't know any one of them, but I felt it, and I'm feeling it now. I felt a lot of that shit. It was palpable that weekend. It was hot, and the night and the day after it rained, it was eerie. I'll just have a moment of silence for them. Okay, so we're back. So what, how did I experience this on August 3rd, 2019, that infamous Saturday? Well, that Saturday, I had to work at 9 in the morning, be at work at 9, so I was scheduled to work. I got up early. Nobody else at the house got up early because my nieces didn't have to go to school or anything, so everybody was asleep. I don't remember if my mom got up or anybody to, you know, fix breakfast or anything. I can't remember those details. She might have woken up and made breakfast, and we talked, and it was like a normal Saturday for me. I was going to go to work. It was actually going to be my first Saturday working, and I'd only been there for a week. Actually, it was going to be my fifth day, so I actually only worked. Let me look at the calendar because it's so weird. It's so weird to look at now. Yeah, so I started work on July 29th, and that Saturday was the fucking shooting. So, yeah. I was actually working Tuesday through Saturday, including Monday, but the weird thing for me is that, okay, so I was scheduled to go in at 9, got to work at 9, hung out, chilled. It was just going to be me, a part-timer, and my coworker Victor. He's a pretty cool guy. I'll talk about work, actual work stuff, next episode I record. I just have to put this one up, I feel like. Victor's cool. My boss, Marta, she was there. We are scheduled to go in at 9. Library opens at 10. We close at 6. Those are the Saturday hours. But so what happened was I go in there at 9. I show up to work early. There's no one there. I have to wait for them because they're going to train me. So they're training. And they're training me. So on how to do opening procedures and stuff. And, you know, having a good time. I like there. More on that later. But so we're setting up, and so we open, and the first hour, 10 o'clock, I get assigned to the computer lab. And when we get in there, it's people come in. We give them temporary passes. They go on the computer. They read the news, YouTube, whatever they do on the computers. And it's Saturday crowd, so it wasn't that many people. It's usually regulars that go and use the computers in there. So I got put on lab duty, so opening duties is putting up the flag, setting up the newspapers for people to come read, shelving, putting movies away, stuff like that. So unfortunately that was not what happened. Well, it did happen. We did all the opening procedures and stuff. We opened at 10. I got sent to the lab at 10 and I was casually on news websites, and I saw the breaking news, and it said possible active shooter, Sylvester the Mall. So everybody in the beginning thought it was a shooter at the mall. So I'm looking at the websites, and then I get a text from my ex, and she's telling me active shooter ? So I look more into it, and sure enough, there's reports of a shooter or multiple shooters at Sylvester Mall. I didn't know what to think, but I was like, that's not that far away from here. What the fuck? My first initial reaction was just aghast, befuddled, speechless, shock. Just shocked. No words. Total disbelief. The strangest thing is that I got a text from my mom, the same thing, and then a text from my sister, my older sister, and my younger sister, and I text them. Sometimes they don't text me back, but usually the only one that texts me regularly was my mom. But now it was my mom, it was my younger sister, my older sister, my oldest niece texted me, my ex, and so I just kept looking and looking. I mean, the library was still quiet, nothing, just a couple people in there. They weren't even checking the news. As this was going on, I'm like, well, what should I tell them? What's going to happen? So I just kept reading. And now the news was reporting active shooter, blah, 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 on the loose. Could be dangerous. People have been hurt. This was around 10:30, so right around when it happened. You know, they might have posted it a little bit late. So around the between 10:30 and 11 is when I was seeing the news break or whatever. Until, so I was at the lab just kind of sitting down, like looking at the computer, like, is this real? Checking my phone, trying to text with my ex or whoever. And didn't really know what to think. Scared, of course, I told everyone. I checked on my ex's kids, and I checked on my mom and my sister, because my sister takes my nieces to gymnastics in the morning on Saturdays. The place is nowhere near the mall, but still. If you hear there's a gunman on the loose in the city, you don't want them. You don't want them around. You don't want anyone that you know or yourself or anyone really to be hurt, honestly. I'm not going to be exclusive, but I panicked. But I kept it inside, internalized it, and sorry. So everybody was texting, and then all of a sudden my boss walks in, Martha, and she's like, we just got the call from the city, from her boss, about an active shooter. We have to close down the library. It's a public building, city building, so we have to close it. So we had to tell everyone, hey, we got to let you guys go. You guys, we have to leave the library because we have shooter situation. So, yeah. So we had to tell 3-4 people we were closing down. The regulars, they weren't happy. They didn't know what's going on. So my boss had to tell them. There's an active shooter being reported. Could be coming this way. So, yes, we had to kick everyone out. There was actually a meeting of the blind for blind people happening in one of our multi-purpose rooms, the green room in the back, so we had helped them set up. They were having a meeting. We set up games and stuff, tables. They were nice enough to bring us Jimmy John's, I think, sandwiches and stuff, and we had to help them out. We had to open doors that we don't usually open to help them out, load them out, have everybody get out safely. So, and they were very nice. So by the time we did leave, they left food for us, which was the last thing on my mind. Is not food, is making sure everybody that I love and care about is okay. But we had to help those people. We had to clear the library. We have to make sure everybody was out. We had to bring the flag, shut everything down as fast as we could, and leave. So after finding out what happened, we stayed for about 3 hours total. So we left there around 12:30 is when we clocked out, and then this great city, working for the city, they actually paid us a full day, which I feel really embarrassed to even admit. I would have just taken the day, and I would rather those people be alive than be compensated for not working. But it's sad to say that we left. And you know, while I was out getting the flag, a van pulled up, and so paranoia and fear and loathing settles in, and you have to turn people away, people that don't know, that haven't watched the news, they don't have internet, just regular people that are just having financial hardships. They didn't know what happened, so we had to turn them away, say, the library's closed, I'm sorry, there's a shooter. So they didn't know, so we had to tell them that this happened. And so myself, Victor, and my boss, Martha, we were out of there by 12:30. We didn't know if the roads were going to be open or locked. There's another mall. On the way back for me called Bassett Center. They were saying that there's possibly a shooter there. So me having to drive through there, because I don't take the freeway. I could take the freeway home, but it would be driving right through where the Walmart is. So I'm like, I'm taking Montana Street. Montana Street is a side street that you could usually take out of town. It's just hitting every single intersection in the city, and it takes you all the way to Carlsbad, which is, we live right off of that. But so I was debating what to do. So I leave, I get to my car, I take off my work shirt. It's just a button-up shirt, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, what do I do? What What do I do? So I text everyone, and people are taking. So, yeah, so it gets back to me. My mom calls and she says, well, your nieces are at gymnastics and my sisters were at work too, actually. So my sisters work at banks and I work at the library. So my mom said, would you be able to go pick up your nieces, the girls, they're at gymnastics and your sister's not off work yet. So I guess they locked everybody in the banks too. So I was like, yeah, sure. So my boss and Victor left. They're like, you know, maybe take the loop or something. The loop is an alternate, you know, roundabout way to get to where we live, which is essentially outside the city limits, but not that far. So I didn't want to do that. So I just wanted to take the shortest way back. So I took Montana back, drove through Bassett Center. There was not that many cops there. The parking lots were empty, so they probably shut that mall. They also had cops there. Target employees were outside, so everybody was gone. But
have your attention, please. The library will be closing in 15 minutes. The computers are now closed. Library card applications are no longer being accepted. Thank you. So I'd like to put forward the library locators of Astana 15 minutes. Las computadoras ya están cerradas. Aplicaciones para tarjetas han terminado.
I might have to finish this podcast at home, but I at least want to get some of the details down. So I drove by Bassett. I noticed traffic wasn't heavy, traffic wasn't slow, traffic was regular Saturday traffic, but people were cautious about going to Bassett or whatever, so they really didn't. So I drove by Bassett and talked to my mom. My plan was to go to get my nieces from their gymnastics class. So that's what I was doing. So in a panic, I texted my brother, Keith, and, you know, he didn't reply. So I called him. So we talked and he luckily was at home. He's kind of an introvert and a hermit. He won't go out unless it's really late or really early. So he was fine, but he was watching the news. And, so we were talking and I was just telling him what I knew. I didn't know what was going on. We didn't know what was going on. It would take about a day or two of just watching the news. And before that, I hadn't watched the news for ever. It was like the first time in years that I watched local news at all. And everybody here in town was watching the news, and it was hard. Just me talking about it just feels weird. It just doesn't feel good. Not a good feeling. But, yeah, so so yeah, what did me and Keith talk about? We talked about guns, we talked about this person or multiple persons, rumors. Even my friend Donna from my previous job, she was texting stuff, and my sister was texting like, oh, somebody that I know said that they have somebody, a family member in law enforcement, and they said it could have been cartel or multiple shooters or blah blah blah. So it was just a lot of mass miscommunication, misinformation, panic. Thankfully it wasn't that. So as I'm driving, I'm talking to Keith and just trying to hold it together. I wasn't crying, but it was just fucking weird to talk about. So we talked for a while, and then my mom called, so I had to let Keith go. And so she told me as I was getting to the so as I was driving, I was telling him, like, hey, traffic's not that bad. I don't know what happened. It sounded like somebody's shooting people. I didn't know it was just Mexicans, but, and by the way, my brother's white, and I love him to death, and I've known him for 26 years. So we grew up together. So I personally am not going to start being paranoid or hating or talking shit or retaliating against white people for what happened. In the subsequent days after the shootings, there were reports of people, white people, Trump supporters, whatever, getting their vehicles vandalized in the city by people on edge. So I don't condone that bullshit. I'm not going to start hating white people because of this. This just sucks on a human level. But so what ultimately happened is my sister was able to get off work early. She went and picked up the girls. And She was able to scoop them up. My mom called me, she told me, so my mom was at the gym at the time, so she was thankfully safe, but she said that they had locked everybody in and they were letting people out just because people weren't working out. They were glued to the fucking TVs, which is probably a scary and weird thing to witness for my mom. My mom's in her 60s and she's gone through some shit, but this is next level. I just never thought this would be something that we would all go through together. So she was worried. So essentially nobody was home at the time that this happened because my older sister took my oldest niece to her practice. She has a dance class. Everybody was gone. Nobody was home. So by around 1:30, 2 o'clock, everybody showed up at the house, thankfully. We were just texting each other and expressing our worries for each other, like wondering if we were all going to be okay, and we were, thankfully. I got there first, and then my mom, then my younger sister and the girls. Actually, my older sister and my oldest niece were already there, but my oldest niece, God bless her, she was asking me if I was okay. She was texting me. She was like, are you home? She didn't really say what happened, but I feel weird because my oldest niece is 12. She's going to be 13. And then the younger two are 10, almost 11. And then the youngest is 8, almost 9. So their ages are staggered, but they're close in age. And when you're a kid, how do you explain this to children? I don't know how my sisters explain it to them. My nieces, and this broke my heart because when we all got home and we're watching the news and the girls are just playing and they're doing normal things, they heard what happened. I don't know if they're processing it, but they heard. I'm sure my sisters told them. I'm sure they heard. I'm sure their respective dads were concerned about their safety. So they knew what happened. They knew whether gymnastics got canceled, but I think kids process this kind of thing differently, and I just, my heart was relieved to see them home and normal and playing and just being themselves, but I don't understand how a kid could process this type of thing. But what's surprising to me is that they were just acting normally, playing with each other. Just, they were worried because at some point during me watching all the news coverage, and I'd never watched news as much as I have. I probably watched like 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 hours of news before I just had to stop, but they saw me, and at some point I was texting my ex, which, well, but at some point I was on my couch watching the news on my own. Everybody was in their own room watching the news, even though we're all watching the same thing. So at some point, it was hot. I'm in the living room, but I'm not worrying about the heat or complaining, but I just had to turn away from the TV and put my phone down, and I'm not going to mince words. I cried. I didn't. So what ended up happening was I just cried, and then what was it? So I let it out. I cried, and then yes, I cried. I turned my back. I put my phone down, and that was it. It didn't really feel like catharsis, but afterwards, I went out for a walk. I didn't go to work. I just went to this new road that was built from Edgemere to Edgemere. Well, not that you know where anything is, but it's a new road that connects our area to the city. It's a new fancy new road. So I went and parked there and walked for about 2 hours. So from about 7 until about 9, until it started raining that night, I just walked back and forth, like huge loops. I got over 20,000 steps. I got rained on. I took pictures. I kept texting the ex. I don't know. But it sort of put things in perspective. It's a horrible thing to go through, and it's an understatement for the people that were actually affected. And so I only have 2 minutes to talk here, but I'll probably add to this or continue, but I'm gonna have to say for now, but I'll probably end it on I'll put a button on this with regards to me going out into the desert alone, just walking, listening to Tom, Steve, Dave, listening to music, just trying to take myself out of the shit, because we weren't going to let this guy like take our peace of mind away, but he did for a split second because we weren't ready for it. But he wasn't going to let that, we weren't going to let him take it from us, so let's just put a pin on that, and then we shall continue this when I get home. But at least I got 50 minutes out of it. I'll probably add a little bit more. This will probably be a long episode, but let's just see how this goes. I'm probably going to call this El Paso Strong, but okay. I'll catch you on the flip side. And from right now, signing off from the library, part one of this horrible tragic incident where it's me out in the rain, in the elements, at night, just looking over at the city, sundown, the sunset, at the stars and the moon, just being thankful that I'm alive, thankful that my mom and my sisters and my nieces are alive, and just, it's an indescribable feeling. It's a horrible feeling to admit, but here we are. All right, I'll be back later.